Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? This is Gunna Dix tonight with the, I'm your host with the OGs of Grudge representing all of the United States and Grudge Racing representing everybody, bringing action, bringing news, and bringing the history of people who's done it before, leading the way for the people who's done it now, for the people who's doing it right now. Tonight we have the guest, our special guest on the show tonight, and it is The Rock from out of South Carolina. If you can just give me a second, we'll go ahead and dial him in. But in the meantime, I'd like to let my engineer in the background give a little bit of information about what he knows about The Rock. And, Kevin, if you can come on, let the people know how you know about The Rock, we'll go ahead and dial him in and get Rock into the show. Come on in here, Kevin. Talk to us.
Everybody know Rock was a man a couple of years back over in North Carolina. I guess we all got to know him from Endicott's videos. Tonight we got the honor of interviewing him tonight, and everybody can ask all the questions they want to ask. Ask the man personally. He will be on the show tonight. And hopefully everyone get their questions out, and we'll have a good show tonight. Give me 1 second, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm dialing The Rock into the show right now. If you can bear with me, give me just a second, and we'll go ahead and get him on now. And we're going to have a real interesting show tonight. We're going to find out who The Rock is, what he has going on, and what does he have cooking in the future. Hello? Rock. Hey, Rock, how you doing tonight, sir?
What's up, man?
All right, Rock, what's going on? We're here on the Clocks Off Show with myself, Gunna Dix, representing the OGs of Grudge. And Rock, I represent a good portion of the Midwest, Northeast. We have followers here in the Southeast as far as in where you reside right now, California, Rock. And I wanted to bring you on a show tonight so you can explain to the people who don't know who you are in the Midwest, who you are, what have you done for the Grudge game, and what your intentions are for the Grudge game. So, Rock, if you don't mind, can you let the people know who you are?
First of all, you know I'm controversial, so I need to make sure that, you know, that everybody know that, first of all. And, you know, some people call me self. They say I'm self-centered. You know, I've been named a lot of things if you listen to these shows lately.
Well, Rock, I've been listening to the shows lately, and, you know, controversy always surrounds the people that's doing something or that's trying to move forward. I recognize that myself personally. You know, Rock, if you weren't possibly a threat or being able to do something in the Grudge game, you wouldn't be so controversial.
That's right.
You know, hey, I have a good friend of mine on the line. Uncle Larry, where you at, sir? Okay, well, I don't know where he's at, but I know
what's
Mike
going on.
Excuse me, Janet.
What's going on, Rock?
What's going on, baby?
How you been, man? How you been? You been all good?
Not really, man. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm all right. I'm good. I'm thrown off by some of these tactics, you know, in racing, man. It's really disheartening to me. I look at racing, and I want to look at it differently, but it's been changed so damn much. You know, it's hard to keep up with it.
Yes, it has. It has changed a great deal, Rock. But I have to ask you the question like they did on New Jack City. Am I my brother's keeper? Rock, you know, I turn around, I come and I preach about fellowship. I try to talk about all the good things, and it seemed like all the good things that I was trying to talk about, and as far as me being a person that has had a regular experience in life as far as being blessed by God himself, I've been trying to get the guys to understand what I mean by fellowship, because it takes us to come together with this unity and everything, man, you know. And what happens is, Rock, they're going to do that. You know why? Because of the simple fact that you're trying to do something good. See, people rather show gratitude and gratification towards something negative more so than something positive, you know. But I don't let them throw me off my stride. I'm human. Don't get me wrong, Rock. Sometimes I'm human. I be wanting to go off, but I hold myself, Rock. Hey, Rock,
yes, sir.
Keep on being who you are. Keep on doing your thing, because one thing for sure, you definitely my guy, man. And I've been more than glad to continue the fellowship with you, because I like the way you handle yourself. And the most important thing, you carry yourself like a man. Let them guys say what they want to say, man, because that's what they do, man.
You're right. I just think right now the way racing is, you know, the way racing is going, you know, some people, you know, and again, I don't like giving a whole lot of, I don't like using names a lot of times. Some people
kind of
speculate, but I just think with the way racing is set up now, they try to make it about politics, and you know, with the financial crisis that's going on across the United States, because right now, you know, let's be honest, money ain't good for nobody. And when you got guys who love to gamble, such as myself and others, you know, some gamble in different brackets. You know, some like to, you know, gamble for a good bit of money. Some like to gamble for small amounts of money. But however it is, it's still, you know, not a lot of money floating in these communities anymore. So when you got guys that love to do that kind of shit, and you got other people bringing different types of action, it's great entertainment for the fans that feel these stands. But at the same time, don't try to pass that off as grudge racing. So I think like now we've gotten it crossed up what we're looking at, because when I look at the races, you know, all over the country, different promoters, I look at people promoting, you know, the shootout deals. Well, shootouts are good, man, but shootouts has taken away from the grudge, because now a lot of the grudge races that might not be in the same situation they were in, they'll jump in the shootout to go run. So by the time you run these shootouts, everybody know where, you know, these cars are pretty much identical. Everybody know where they are on the car. So why would I grudge race you when I know I couldn't beat you for the shootout? I got in the shootout for free, but I know I can't beat you because I ran you in the shootout. You see what I'm saying? So it's taken away. Mm-hmm. It's taken the hustle factor away from the grudge game. So I think what has to happen is we're going to have to label what we're doing when it comes to, you know, shootout / grudge, because they're trying to make it a grudge race, but at the end of the day, it really ain't a grudge race. It's just an actual shootout. So I think the words are getting crossed up. And, you know, I look at myself, and I don't like to give myself no credit, but I've had others to tell me that, you know, I was one of the ones to really start up, you know, with these, you know, throwing some of these grudge events, you know, that got noticed, you know, in the past. And then after kind of like when you have these events and you got all these players on the grounds and things don't transpire as such, like lock-in races, people pay the deposit, you might not have two or three races. You started having guys with voices that come out and try to make bad of some of the races. And really, at the end of the day, a true grudge race, you don't never know what's going to get off, because these cars are on edge trying to win that money, and anything can happen, breaking or, you know, whatever the case may be. They couldn't find that number that day. I mean, it's too many things that can go wrong. So, I mean, it just changed the face of the game. But, again, everything is changing. But I think we have to determine what's for us. Like, you need to just know. You know, like I got a shootout on the 4th of October, and the reason why I did that is because everybody's on 29s now, and everybody wanted to do that. I got a 29 inside car. I love to gamble. And I know that some of the people that I wanted to race, I'm trying to get them to come in there and get in the race so we can do a little gambling as well. So I got a little bit of hidden agenda to try to run some of these guys that's going to come to the shootout. So it might make me some money when it comes down to it as far as the hustle factor comes. So that's my edge on what I'm doing, because it's kind of calculated to try to get some of the guys that I do want to race in there and give them something to do. And some guys just want to come get into the shootout. So I'm trying to have something for everybody.
and try to be up on the new and latest and greatest as well. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to change the times. You just can't stay stuck in the past. If that's how they want it, then that's how we going to do it.
Well, mm-hmm. Rock, can I ask you a question, Rock? We also have another gentleman on the phone from out of the Midwest by the name of Mr. D. He's very
okay.
intelligent, highly articulated. But, Mr. D, before you come in, I know you have some questions you'd like to ask. Rock, who are you to be qualified? I mean, what is your background for you to come on and say, shootouts are racing, messing up the Grudge game? For all I know, and for all the people out here know from the Midwest, Northeast, you don't even have a car anymore. Who are you to be making these comments, Rock? You ain't nobody. And
that's right.
That's a sentiment that I get. So let me know who you are, and let me also know who are you, sir, to be making these comments? Who are you to say the Grudge game is messed up?
I don't want to say this to sound arrogant, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm a guy who wins 90% of the time I get in the car, rather it's mine or whoever car I drive, which I don't drive many people's car. You know, I'm a guy who loves to gamble. I have brought much action from around this great country. If you go, I tell you what, the best, you know, when people ask me that question, I tell them, go Google me, YouTube me, if you want to know who I am. And
okay.
normally that sums it up. And I'm not, that's not to be arrogant. It's the truth, because at the end of the day, I couldn't even sit here and try to, like, you know, make out who I was or tell you, because I think the proof is in the pudding. My work speaks for itself. I ain't got to beat my chest about who I am.
Rock, can I ask you a question? You know, in the Grudge Race, now you just spoke about Grudge Racing. You know,
sure.
In this Grudge Racing world, we live in the world of what have you done for me lately. We ain't concerned about what you did 1,000, 10,000 years ago.
Right.
So, what have you done lately, Rock?
Well, I haven't really done nothing lately because I live and work in California. You know, my career has taken me away from the great state of South Carolina to where, you know, my equipment, you know, my family, we have, you know, quite a bit of equipment here. I mean, we have a whole shop full of racing stuff, man. And that's what we've been, my uncle, I grew up in racing, you know, with my Uncle Larry from the 555 board. To Russell the Bull. You know, I grew up in this. I mean, from a child riding to the racetrack. And then when I started racing myself, you know, I started, you know, getting pretty, you know, savvy into spending money on cars and so on and so forth. And I found a way to really promote my bail bonding business. And I just, you know, once you get one car, you want to go faster and faster and faster. And that's pretty much how it happened. And then I had a driver before, and I started driving myself. And, you know, realized that I had a pretty good talent at it. And I just, you know, just love to race and gamble, man. That's what I am. I'm just a gambler. I love to gamble. I love the thrill of gambling. And for me, that's why Grudge Racing is so great, because it's, you know, you can have some money today and go to the racetrack, to, you know, tonight and run somebody and lose and it's gone. And you got to figure out how to get it back, you know, how to make a joker race you for it back, or, you know, however to get it back. It's like chess, you know what I mean? You have to work that thing out. It's different. But to answer your question, because I don't feel like I answered it, as far as what makes me qualified to answer that question, you know, I've been around this thing since I've been a kid. I can pretty much tell you most of the rules to racing. I've had the pleasure of being friends with some of the originators of Grudge Racing that has nurtured my career, you know, to where it is. And, you know, we've taken a break. We've had a lot of issues in our camp as far as, you know, our main guy who, you know, our crew chief, battling cancer for the last year, or actually over a year, battling cancer. My uncle, you know, working a lot more, me going to California 2 years ago. So, I mean, it's been hard on us to try to raise, but we ain't quit the game. We've been around. We watching. We paying attention. And to be honest with you, the game kind of went down. It never, you know, and when you racing at the level that we were at, it takes motivation to come out and race. And we were never motivated because of the moves and the tactics and how racing really, you know, has changed. It never was appealing to us. So we kind of sat back. You know, we came out and made appearances here and there every now and again, but we weren't really serious about it.
Okay, Rock, I'm going to ask you one more question, and I'm actually that's more of a comment, and then, Mr. D, I'm going to let you come on in if you don't mind. Rock, you do know that Grudge Racing is evolving. It's evolving to the mainstream. And,
right.
Rock, Now, for the people who don't know, if you don't mind me saying, Rock, before I say anything further, can you tell the people what is your profession now and what was your profession previously?
I'm still a bail bondsman, but I don't really do a whole lot with it. My mother takes care of that and operates my book of business here in South Carolina, and I'm a record executive in Los Angeles. Well, I run a record label that's family-owned. We have Jamie Foxx, Brandy, Nikki Williams, and Rico Love, and some more songwriters and producers. So I got my work cut out for me in L.A., so that's where I'm at, and that's where I'm, you know, where I'm residing. I come to South Carolina to see my kids and my family probably every 60 days, maybe sometime shorter periods than that. But, you know, when I come back and forth, you know, I've had a lot of people asking me to drive cars and do stuff on, but I just didn't, you know, my family, we always kept it in the family. I just never was interested in really driving and messing with other people's cars.
Okay, so with that being said, Rock, the reason why I wanted the people to know what you're, because you are most definitely plugged into the nth levels of entertainment. So, Rock, you do understand that grudge racing now is a promoter's game, right?
Right.
Okay. Now you said you are an executive at your record label, and you named some very high profile names. Am I correct?
Right.
Now, Rock, when I spoke to you the other day, you know how I feel about it. You were the first African American that I know of on the grudge side to grace the cover of a mainstream magazine, which was Drag Illustrated. Not only did you grace the cover of Drag Illustrated, but you graced that cover like a boss. You graced that cover with the big cigar pimped out, like how we would like to see ourselves represented when we've made it. And then in the interview, you were very articulate. So with you knowing that this is a promoter's game, Rock, and I'm going to be a little harsh on you, I really have no sympathy that, that people don't respect you. Because, Rock, I know a little bit of your background. A boss always demands respect, and not saying you don't demand respect and you don't get your respect, but in the grudge game, you've allowed yourself to be whittled down and whittled away. I don't, if you would have wore your crown like how you should have wore your crown, you wouldn't be going through this right now. And the Bible speaks that some men are put over other men, and it's some men's duty to feed other men and take care of other men. You've neglected your job, and that's why I feel this passion. I hope you can get back. So, Rock, I'm going to let you respond to that. But can you, before we do that, can you let us know what you got going on?
Hold on. Hey, listen, let me say this to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to address the first piece that you put out there. Mm-hmm. And I want you to understand, and I want everybody out here listening, I want them to understand one thing about this whole outfit. For us, racing was never a business for us. I never raced for business. I never raced to have control of things. I never raced for say that it was a second income because, I might have had a race and the race made money. You know, when I was racing at Jackson, I only was getting 30%. Nobody never knew that. But I only took 30% because it was fine with me, because all I ever wanted to do was get people in the same place, because then it would give me my playground to do what I wanted to do, which was to race and gamble. So it was never financial, per se for me and my group of people. We just were thrill seekers because all of us did well with what we did on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's the first part. And then you said, if I would have worn my crown. In my eyes, I wore it and wore it well, because the thing that I set out to do, I did. And I didn't feel as if I was doing it to control nothing, because I'm not that guy. I don't want to control nothing. I'm about who I'm with. If I'm with you, I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to control or try to dictate how racing really goes. That ain't what, like you said, people knowing where you are. I was told that. Yeah, people used to tell me, yeah, you was here, you was there. And I would be aware of it sometime when I see the movement of people that would come to see me when I said I was doing something. I was aware of it. You know, I was aware of it when I was getting calls from overseas, from you know, these guys who was aspiring to get into racing at the time, Sheik Khaled, Ben Tahini, who owns Alinabi, from talking to him week in, week out. I realized where I was at, but at no time did I ever want to control anything. At no time did I ever want to tell somebody, oh, come here, don't go there. I never wanted to do that. It, for me, man, it was just about, it was purely about hustling. So I don't think, when you say that you thought I should have wore my crown, I think that's something that you see from a selfish side. You know, that's a selfish statement. For you to say, I never felt that way, and I never probably would feel that way. To me, I never left. I just took a break. You know what I mean? But see, now they want to act like, you know, oh, you washed up, you this, you that. I ain't went nowhere. Where I went at?
Well,
you know, I'm on the West Coast. I can't get on the phone every. When y'all on the phone at 6, it's 3:00. I'm still at work. So to me, I didn't go nowhere. But to everybody else, because I was so accessible, and at the racetracks all the time. They felt that way, but I ain't going nowhere. Ain't nothing changed about me.
Well, you know, Rock, maybe that was, I mean, I'm not going to say it was a selfish statement, because once again, I'm on the outside looking in. It's like some people say, Gunnit, you have a perfect radio voice. I don't think I have a radio voice. To me, I'm just me. I wake up every day. I walk every day. But at the end of the day, what I do take into consideration what people say. And when they ask me, hey, can you cut this promo? Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? That I have that they like, and I try to make myself available to them.
Right.
You know, so at that point, Rock, I mean, you even acknowledged to a degree that, you know, you people were telling you this. I mean, maybe there's a fine line. I'll tell you what. Now, you did say that you were, you know, that the racing was more about fun and hustling for you. It was never about control and having an iron grip. So, Mr. D, can you come on in give me your opinion on what Rock said and give me your opinion on my statement also? Hello, Mr. D. All right. Well, I know Mr. D is on this show.
Hey, Gunnipi, let me say something else to you, too. I was the second African-American on that magazine. Mike Hill was the first one. And
well,
I was the second one, so I wasn't the first. You said I was first. I was the actual second guy on there. And also, with that cover, just to give you a little more insight, because people probably don't know this, but with that cover was asked to be done by others who were graced, you know, whites or whatever, you know what I'm saying, guys, racers, that they had asked to get on there and do it. They had asked a number of people to do that kind of cover, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to do it with the yak and the cigar and the gangster look. Nobody wanted to do it. So when they asked me about doing it, I was like, damn, that would be perfect, huh? And they were like, you'll do it? I was like, why not? That's fitting for who I am. You know what I mean? Like, come on with it. Let's do it. So, you know, I was bold enough to try when nobody else would, they said. And this is what they were telling me.
Okay, well, let me say this. Like I said, Rock, I said, as far as I know, so hats off to Mike Hill. Mike Hill is
I'm gonna get a game credit. You know how it goes. Yeah,
Mike Hill has an iron grip on it. Yes, he deserves that credit. But let me ask you a question: Was Mike Hill in the in Drag Illustrator as a grudge racer or as a class racer? Tuning on a class.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he never. He done told all of us he ain't no good racer. Now, he ain't no good racer. He is not that. But he was in there as a class racer, yes.
Well, I did say the first African-American in grudge racer on the grudge side.
You're right.
The first African-American on the grudge side.
Hey, son, so, I'm sorry. You're right. I stand corrected. I thought I heard you differently. You're right.
Because clocks off is all about grudge racing.
That's right.
We respect what the class racers do. We actually emulate a lot of what the class racers do. But I love to see them cars get on the track with the clocks off. Rock, you said something about the 5-5 boys. Where are the 5-5 boys from? The 5-5 boys from?
We're all from Columbia, South Carolina. Hold on, I got to hug my son now. I just walked in out. Hey, son.
Okay.
All right, going out. I'm being in a minute, okay? We all from Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay, all right. So, Rock, let me ask you a question. Give me some of your history about your background in grudge racing. How did you get into grudge racing? How many years have you been grudge racing?
My uncle's been grudge racing for years, man. They had some of the fastest cars, you know. He's bought some of the fastest cars, you know, that you can think of back in the day. But I just always been around it as a kid. And when I got into bell bonding, Tony Wright called me one morning. This ain't no lie. Tony Wright called me and said, "Hey, Rock," because I had been talking about buying a race car. I used to race motorcycles. That was my thing,
okay,
motorcycle.
Can you give us a time frame? Can you take us back to the years so we can get an understanding, a timeline?
When I bought my first race car, it must have been 05, maybe. No, maybe 04. Yeah, maybe 03, 04. I bought a Mustang. Tony Wright woke me up out of bed. I went down there, bought the Mustang from the man. It had a little 302 on it, like a little street car. And I put my business name on the car, right? Now, I ain't never drove no race car, but I told him I wanted one. He found me one. I went and bought it. I put my name on the car, my business name on the car, right? And I went to Orangeburg, and I was just making laps like a fool. I just go down the track and right back in the stage lane. I was having so much fun. And on Monday morning, my office phone blew up. People calling me, "Oh, man, I like your car. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's a nice little Mustang. I like your car." It wasn't fast worth a damn, but they loved my car. And just because I had those neon letters on it, Jacob Bell Bonding, "Born to be free. Call me, you know, if you get in trouble, call," you know, some shit like that. And my phone used to ring on Monday morning. So the first motor I bought, I said, "You know what, I got to go faster." I called a guy named Stacy Jordan. I built a Ford 351 stroker motor and put it in the car, and we started winning races, and people started noticing me. And I'm telling you, it was the best advertisement, the best money I spent for my business. And ever since that, I decided that my business write-off for my company was going to be racing. And you know how that goes. One thing leads to another, and you just continue to try to go faster and faster and faster. And at the time, I was never driving. I always had a drive. I used to talk trash. And I ended up just continuing to grow in racing and buy more stuff and get faster cars. And one day I got thrown on the river by a driver that I don't want to call his name. And I just said, you know what, before I let somebody else throw me in the river, I'm a damn throw myself in the river. So I started driving myself. I took me and my chassis guy, went to the track and stayed at track for one full day. That next Thursday in Jackson, I was on somebody's ass. Matter of fact, I was on Tony Wright's ass.
That's good. He deserved it. And this was going back to 2004. Is that correct?
When I started driving, like in 06.
Okay.
Started driving in 06. I just only had the cars and was, you know, betting and talking trash. I started driving myself in 2006, and I never looked back.
So what you're saying is that you're relatively new to racing, that you're relatively new to grudge racing. Just, you know.
No.
Okay.
I've been around Russell. I've been driving. Driving since 06. But I traveled around with Russell the Bull, with the red S10. I mean, I've been everywhere. I was one of the main guys, you know, betting with those guys back when they were running the Harry O's and all these guys. So I've been around racing forever, man. My Uncle Larry had his, you know, a nice Chevy too. I mean, we've always had cars. So I've been around racing all of my life. But as far as driving, I started driving in 06, and I just had a natural talent, a natural knack for driving, for piloting a race car.
Okay, I tell you what. I hear one of my brethren, one of my brothers, Mr. D. Are you here?
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm here. I was here when you called me earlier, Gunny. But you know, I'm not computer illiterate, but I'm kissing cousins to it. And the phone had put it on mute, so I had to reroute myself to get out of there. And by that time, Mr. Rocket started talking again, so I just went intervene. But First of all, let me say hello to Mr. Rock. Nice.
Hey, man.
Getting a chance to meet you on this phone here. Hopefully one day we'll meet in person. And as far as that photo shot go, whether it was first or second, it was just good, great, really. It's past good. It's a great thing that one of us made it to that photo. You see,
right.
He was number two. Mike Hill was number one. Someone got to be second. Someone got to be first. We still can say that was a great thing that you were not so much was chose first, but that you had the gumption enough to step up and do it. Like you said, a lot of guys didn't want to do it just for the way it was trying to portray it off. But
right.
for a person that started driving in 06, and to hear you talk here, that's great, really. I think it's great. But let me tell you, Mr. Gunny and I, we tend to have what we call family fights really all the time. And I'm going to start one with him now. I'm good at trying things. Rock, I'm kind of good at that, you know. My grandfather used to tell him all the time, and I heard Kenny Rogers say it in the show, too. My grandfather said it for years before Kenny said it. He said, man has to know, not Kenny, I'm sorry, Eastwood. He said, man has to know his limitations. And see, when it comes to starting mess, I have no limitations. I'm kind of sick at it. And Mr. Gunny, I told you, all the fast cars, all the gas, not all of them, I won't say, you know, all, it's 100%, so we'll just use 98%. They was up this way. See, when they was going, what they call fast down there, we was flying up here, you know.
Where's up here, first of all? Where's up here?
North.
I know where we are.
I'm from Chicago. You know, the north.
Okay,
part.
Okay, sure.
We were flying. You know, a friend of mine and I was having a nice long conversation today, and I can remember 12-second cars being fast. We had 9-second cars being here. So it's good to see that they have picked the game up and come on in to where we have been. We were discussing the 10-inch tire earlier today, and he brought something to mind. He said, I love it. When you bought your car, it had a 10-inch tire. That was 1986. He said, it had a 10-inch tire. And I said, you know, you're right. But they think they're doing something new. And, Mr. Rock, I tend to bounce around. I do it purposely. A lot of times I'm on these shows. I tend to bounce around because I don't want no one to lock in on me. I want to just tag on. When you lock in on me, you kind of know what I'm thinking. I don't like for a person to know what I'm thinking.
Right.
I promise I have this celebration. But I think it's great what you have done. That Bill's Bomber thing, I heard you say that you use the racing as a stepping stone to your business. That's good, man. It's great to know that we have some of my people that have done some great things in racing. It really is.
Okay, but Mr. D, can I ask you a question? Mr. D, can I ask you a question? We have this is one of the full shows that we've had. Mr. D, what do you think? Rock said that he never had a desire to control or dictate what goes on in racing, or what went on in racing. He did say he doesn't care if he makes a dime at these races or whatnot. But you know, naturally, he's not going to turn any money away. I'm assuming. But how you can reemerge into the grudge game and make his presence known and shoot right back to the top. And what do you think he can do? What do you think he can add to the
question
right now?
Let's look at it like this here. Getting back to the top, you know, kind of lonely up there. Now, he is proving that right now. It can be kind of lonely at the top, and it can be easy. It can be hard. It's how you start out getting there. As far as him wanting to control something, I heard that statement. And I think that made him more of a team player, really more so than an individual that wanted to just rock the world. I think that made him more of a team player when he said he didn't really want to control it. He didn't really want to be part of it. And I thought that was great when he said that. But and I also heard you say that drag racing is evolving. It's evolving into a promoter thing. You know, I ask this question quite often. When did we get away from the word drag racing and grudge racing? Is it that grudge racing tend to make this thing sound more lucrative? Or is it just something that someone threw out there and everyone kind of hold to it? I said that because I want to say this next. This promotion. Everybody want to be a promoter now. Is it really that easy to be a promoter? Are we asking the question, Rock, you going to come back in as a promoter? You qualified to be there. Seems like your qualifications are there to be a promoter. Would that bring him back into the mainstream of racing? Is that something he would have to do, or would you just buy you a car or pull something you have out of the garage and just come back to the face of drag racing?
I don't mean to cut y'all off, but I be having thoughts like when y'all saying stuff, and I know I forget, so don't forgive me for cutting you off. But let me say this to you and Gunny P. See, the difference is, I know the formula to get to the top.
Mm-hmm. But for a guy with a purpose like mine, do I really want to try to shoot my way to the top? In my opinion, for me, and just so you'll know, when you talk to me, you can hear the arrogance in my voice. You can hear the mm-hmm. confidence in my voice. Mm-hmm. And I may play a little coy sometimes and shy, you know, to some people because, you know, that's my avenue. Because when I really want to fuck you up and get your money, all mm-hmm. those things are necessary in order to get to the top. But I just use the, you know, my hustle tactics to get me where mm-hmm. I'm going. I, you know, other people give you self-recognition. They want to put that on those labels on you. For me, mm-hmm. it's more about racing. Like, for instance, this 29-inch tire car I got, I mm-hmm. never, ever played that car to ever be fast back when we were racing. We used to go to track and get races because people would dive on us with this car because we never said nothing about the car. But when a man called us out, we bust mm-hmm. him up and blind him. We get his money.
Well, let me say this. I'm glad you said that. Hold it on. You said something that made a lot of sense there. It was real slick, too. I like what you said there. You said, if I want to get your money, I will fuck you up. This easygoing voice that I have, that's just my game. And then you said something. You said, I have the formula to get into the top. That's good. But the only thing about that formula, has it been changed? See, you know, we don't bake cakes today the way they bake cakes. When my mom was baking cakes, she went in, she sifted out her flour, and she put up meal or whatever she wanted to put together and did it by hand. See, now they buy the cake in the box. It's already together for you. So that formula has changed. That formula has changed for me as well as you. You may not think it has, but it has. But what happened now is that you got in that garage that you could pull out now, is a great possibility you come out and get your ass to work with it.
I could, but everybody loves winning. So my thing is, I don't want to be recognized and self-proclaimed loser. So don't give me no credit. In fact, I'm a great guy because I'm losing. So what I'm trying to tell you is, winning takes care of everything in this whole conversation. It takes care of everything. And in my record and in my history and in my career, I know how to win. I am a winner.
Okay.
All I have to do is win, and everything can take care of itself. Yeah, I'm coming out. We never really left, man, to be honest. Like I said, we never left. The only reason why we backed off is because I moved to California, and our main guy took sick with cancer, battling cancer. So it kind of threw us in an emotional loop. And, you know, as far as me getting back and forth traveling, I was always coming back and forth to South Carolina anyway, seeing my kid, my family. You know, my family's here. So me coming back and forth is not an issue. That didn't stop us. What really stopped us was, you know, Mike getting sick with this cancer and battling this cancer. We never really, you know, understood it, and we never was prepared for it. So we didn't want to race. We put everything in the shop and just sat it on jack stand, you know. So, I mean, like I said, winning takes care of everything. All we got to do is go win. I tell you this. Watch when I go to a William Brown race this weekend. If I happen to get me a win, watch what happens on Monday.
Oh, well, Rock, I hope that we can get you first thing on Monday. I hope we can definitely get you first thing on Monday with William Brown.
If I win, everybody will get you.
Yeah, they're going to get you, but we're trying to get you first.
Oh,
as a matter of fact,
it ain't going to go till
Monday.
We're going to do a Saturday night.
We're going to do a Sunday night, and we're going to turn around and do a Monday.
Hey, listen, did you not see my video, man? If I get thrown somebody's ass, y'all going to see some show enough dance, Soul Train style.
Well, I know you call HD a stank old man, and you had a cup of that brown shit in your hand, and you was going off, wouldn't stop.
That's just all talk. HD and I are very good friends, and I love HD. He's been, you know, him and his group of guys has been inspirational because, like I said, it takes people like them to motivate you to want to be better, man. Those guys were at the top. Like, I watched them go race other people, and I always said, you know what, if I get a car, I want to run those guys. Who would ever think that, they would have never beat me in their career? Like, these guys have been stellar all their career in racing. Like, they're some of the real OGs to betting money in racing. And they're flawless. I'm flawless against them. Who can do that? Who can say that shit?
Hey, Rock, you know what? Thank you for saying that, because I want the people to know that. A lot of people seen that video when William Brown ran the beast, and a lot of people seen you talking to us. You let the people know that that is your friend. That's just trash talking. And you let
it ain't true.
Well, I thank you for that. Because a lot of people wouldn't know whether you were serious or not. And you just said those men motivated you to something.
Hold up. Got to pick. I was serious. Don't get misunderstand what I was saying. What I told him was from the heart. And it was I was dead serious because at the time, building them was bullshitting. And I told him, if y'all want some old motherfuckers following you and being on your heels like they on mine, then you need to go out there and earn that shit and stop just being over here wiping on your car and having a pretty-ass car. And they went out and did what they did. And guess what? I was the first person at the trailer when they got back, and I told them, God damn, y'all killed me because I lost with William Brown. I bet with William Brown to make the race go off. That's another thing. Now, that race went off because I had to make the pot, right, because they wanted to run for one pot. William Brown said, I'm running for one. I said, fuck it, I'm going to bet with you, William. Let's go. I bet with William Brown to make the pot right. Did I think William could win? I thought he had a shot, but I didn't know 100%.
Okay. Hey, Rock, I'll tell you what. We have a lot of calls with their hands up that want to speak to you. Rock, ladies and gentlemen, for the next 10 to 15 minutes, go ahead and throw your hand up if you want to ask Rock something. If you want to know about his career or ask him anything, go ahead and throw your hands up. And right now I want to bring in, I'm assuming, a gentleman that you know from out of Texas. We have Texas Online. Boogie, go ahead. Your mic is open. Thank you for waiting.
Who is this, Boogie? Is this me? Hello?
Hello, Boogie. Your mic is
hey,
open.
What?
Please go ahead.
Hey, Rock, what's going on, man?
What's up, bro?
Hey, yeah, man, I met you in San Antonio. You was down there doing as you always do. Man, you got to come back to the grudge game, man. This shit is getting real boring. Like, I'm a shit talker. I like that shit. And then you can back it up, man. This shit's getting real boring. Like, I'm for real, man. I'm going to start going to index races and shit. This is just horrible, man. You got to come back from Cali. I know you're working and shit, but.
Well,
hey,
I'll be back the rest. I put it like this. I'm racing the rest of the year all the way through the end of December through Christmas, man. I'm going to end it out with Baltimore race, and then we'll figure out when we're going to race next year because I'm probably like 60-70% thinking I'm going to bring my car. The 29-inch tire car back to Cali to try to see if they're going to, you know, race over there through the winter because, you know, we got good weather most of the year. So I'm thinking about it, but I'm going to be racing.
You said you're racing the rest of the year. Have you got a schedule together on where you're going to be racing at, what part of the country will be?
I know this weekend for sure, September, I'm 50% sure I'm going to go see my boy Ronnie Brown. I think I'm going to go down there and see him. And then October 4th, and then I'm going to race probably Orangeburg November 1st. And then I'll be at another race sometime in November, and then I'm going to Baldy's race in December down at the Braden Hood and Bradenton is going to be in Orlando. So that's normally the week before Christmas. And I'll be there, and then that's pretty much it. I mean, anything other than that, I don't know, but I know those I have taken, I have made up my mind. That's what we're doing, so.
Well, Rock, let me say something. Mr. B, and you can grab that talk about it, tell it in a second. Rock, 2015, I would love to see you get fucked up. I want to see you get fucked up because you said that it's hard for you to get fucked up. So if you can please include the Midwest in your rendezvous, and we talked about it earlier. Include the Midwest in your rendezvous. I guarantee you get fucked up in the Midwest.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'll tell you something else.
A little bit of notice on the race. Just give me some notice on the race. I want to go get some new booty.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Not only will you get new booty, it's going to be good and sweet. It's going to be juicy. And they're going to bet and play. They're going to bet and play the way they feel like.
I'm kind of nasty, too, now, so you got to be careful. Me and my people nasty. My uncle might be one of the nastiest men you ever met. And he's passing on.
Come on. Now, listen, I know Bookie and Brian.
Not my Uncle Larry, my Uncle Gray Eye.
Oh. Come on, Gray Eye.
I got two of the nastiest uncles a man anybody can ask for, and they pass that shit right on to me.
Hey, y'all still got Purple Rain.
Hey, listen. Purple Rain and Gray Eye, brother. Now, watch this. I'm going to call Gray Eye and get him on the phone. Y'all want to hear somebody talk some shit? I'm going to let y'all hear something and watch what he takes.
Hey, Rock, give me just a second because you have a lot of people that want to talk to you. You got a lot of people. You even got a gentleman online that went on the internet and said, why the hell am I interviewing you tonight? Your ass is washed up. So, he put it on the internet. Your ass is washed up.
That sound like Big Dre dumbass.
Nah, it ain't Big Dre. Let me tell you what this joker said. And this joker's young, too. Pretty motherfucker. Young cat. Nasty mouth, awful. Arrogant like you. He said, you were like an OG that went into retirement and came back out trying to take the block back. I couldn't do nothing but laugh with him, bro.
Okay, but listen, call his name and I can tell you the reason. You know, I done beat so many people to death around this country, I can tell you why somebody said something about me.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to go down the list. Like I said, we only got 10 or 15 minutes of letting people talk to you. And then we got a good
chat.
I got a lot of questions to ask you. So let's go to the next
call.
Let's see. Baby boy, your mic is open.
What's going on, Gunnick? What's going on, Rock? How you doing, brother?
What's up, brother?
Not much, man. You know, I think maybe about three to four years ago, or maybe five years ago, I was watching Gunnick, In the Cut, a couple of more guys on YouTube, and I would always see your face, and you always was whooping guys' ass, and you would talk shit, and you would bag it up. And with grudge racing, and like the guy from San Antonio say, man, please come back because this grudge game is dead. We need guys like you in the game because due to the fact we got these phony guys that's in the game that's putting this false information out about grudge racing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you as a racer, I respect you because anywhere that you go, you got to talk some shit, you got to have some fun, and you got to engage with somebody. Whoever it is, dude, that's all the New World Order. I heard the New World, when you said the New World Order, I said, oh, Lord, have mercy, that man going crazy, man. He said, you got New World Order around here, man. And it really touched me due to the fact that you engaging with these guys, man. Anywhere in the country, man, and I just want to give you your props out, man, and letting you know the guys from the Midwest that a lot of guys that don't know you and don't watch YouTube and don't get on the internet frequently like I do, I know you. I don't know you personally, but I know you from the internet per se. So like I say, man, just come on back, man, do your thing, brother, and I'm gonna support you.
Well, I appreciate, man, because I appreciate knowing that somebody appreciates that shit, because what a lot of people don't know is what it takes to get prepared to be riding all over the country, man. This shit, listen, man, I damn near lost my family behind this shit, racing and all over the place. And that's another reason that I didn't touch on some of that because I just thought about it. But when you thinking about, you know, I got a 4-year-old son now, and, you know, things change. Like I said, racing change, life change. And when life calls on you, man, you have to change with it, and it takes a lot to race at a high level and to travel and do some of the shit you be doing, man. So I appreciate you, you know, even you saying that, man. I'm telling you, I really do.
Well, I tell you what, baby boy, you just hold on because the Rock and Friends, the Rock and Company, will be to a Midwest track near you, 2015. Baby boy, go ahead and hang on. I'm leaving mic open. Anybody that has spoke, we're gonna ask you to mute your own mic and regulate yourself. I have a few more people to get on and open up, so I tell you what, let's move on to the next one. Dog, we just lost Big Sham. Kevin, can you go ahead and pull Big Sham back in? But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead to the next caller. And this, I'm going to let this young man tell you himself what he thinks about you, Rock, because I really think this man likes you a lot. Mr. Mark, your mic is open.
What's going on? Rock, what up?
Okay.
What up, Doc? You bullshitter. You ain't shit. Come in here and got all these people praising you. You know we owe you some ass whooping. Hey, but let me clear it up. Hey, Gunner, let me clear it up. Rock is a cool dude, but every time I say I'm going to talk shit to him because, you know, before my uncle died, I'm going to tell y'all a little something. Y'all, everybody don't know. Before my uncle died, we was going to pick up his cars on a Friday. And we was getting the cars back together just to revenge the losses we had. And now you was the only one I wanted to fucking get was Rock. But before he died, you was a part of our plan, right? Now, you know, my other uncle's about to come home. And we just talked about it because he called me up. And we were going, and he asked me about your uncle. He said, you got an uncle with some light eyes or some shit.
Yeah.
So the guy that's locked up, you know, with him was talking about, oh, yeah, this guy in the Fed joint was talking all about Rock. He said, yeah, we're going to come back out and whoop his ass and keep T-Name alive. So I'm forewarning you. He coming for your ass.
Hey, Stang.
Got like 4 more months.
Hey, Stang, listen. Listen. Tell Uncle I said what up, first of all. And for real, man, ain't no need of you, you know what I'm saying, wasting your time with that bullshit. Because for what I did to y'all that night, man, I still think about that shit, man. I wish you was old enough really to be down there to witness this shit, man. If you seen what I put on Twitter, listen, man, if you would have seen that shit, man, it was so fucking ugly. That might be the ugliest ass cutting I ever did to anybody.
You got that. Boy, I never got – I still – you the one that made me talk shit to people like that because I want to whoop everybody ass.
Hey,
I give you respect. I give you respect. But
yeah,
you're a piece
man.
Of shit.
I know it. I would feel like that, too, if you knew what I really did to y'all that night.
I know what you did, but I'm still paying for that shit.
That might be one of the – and I'm going to say this, too, you know, because, you know, it's a cold to this shit, too. But that might be one of the fucking biggest motherfucking – that's one of the biggest ones I have been even known about in life. And I know y'all boys up north get together and, you know, you put it down and – you raised pretty good, but that night was monumental because, you know, when New Jersey boys used to roll in town, everybody in South Carolina used to get scared. Oh, they coming. They come down there and just Debo everybody. They get out like the fucking A-team and just talk shit, talk about they going to bet the world. And this particular night, when nobody knew they was coming. They snuck up on us, right? When they came in there, man, they jumped out the trailer. T'Shawn told me, I come for that ass tonight. I turned around and I told him, motherfucker, how you want it? I said, how you want it? How you want this ass? Because, goddamn it, I heard you was coming. I already knew they were coming, waiting on them. And you know what? It was monumental because South Carolina stood up, man. Everybody didn't run to their side to be on their team when it came to actually racing them. And you know what? That was the first time I seen, you know, South Carolina really stand up to the bullies because y'all were bullies, man. The New Jersey boys been bullies for years, man. Years. The Big Bad Wolf went down.
Yeah, that shit is crazy. I mean, you got that, but yeah, that was just a twist. I mean, it was unfortunate, but nobody really knew. But I swear, he died on a Thursday. We was going to pick his car up on Friday. We was leaving Friday morning, and that's all I tried to say. Oh, we gotta get Rock ass. He still got that bounty hunter. And we was breaking it out for you,
and he truly missed, man, because he was truly a good dude. Like, a lot of people don't know, you know, because they, you know, a lot of people don't know. T was a good dude for racing. He promoted racing. He wanted to race. And he always brought action, man. Those guys, that group of guys were like the super crew. Like, they were the guys of racing, man. When they moved in big units. And, you know, they talked. They had a guy that was a spokesman, Crunch. He stayed on the internet talking about, you know, engaging and so on and so forth. Like, they had they shit together. They were organized. And, you know, that made me want to get our group of people even more organized. We emulated some of the shit we used to do off of how y'all did. But that's how it used to be. Those groups are not like that no more. Like, they've gone underground because, you know, racing, like I said, everybody's promoting different racing now, and it's just making it bad.
Yeah, well, I just put myself in a position to come to that caliber racing. And I ain't going to shake your hand and pat you on the back. I'm going to come for your ass like my uncle said.
Hey, listen.
And
don't you make me put Rhoda on your goddamn ass. Now, you be quiet.
I'm looking for his ass. His fucking ass. He all talking about he going to church. He better say a fucking prayer. And y'all better help him.
Hey, he don't need no help. He a grown motherfucking man. That's my dog.
Your fucking light-eyed uncle, both of them motherfuckers.
Hey, hold on. Now, let me tell you this too, young Spank. Now, listen, I'm going to say this to you, and I want to just put you on blast because we were talking about you today, and my uncle got a little car named Little Man. He drive it himself. He don't need me to drive it, none of that. He got a car named Little Man. He got a 23-degree small block in his car. He said you do anything for him with that small block in your car, and he'll get all over your ass.
Well, let me tell you how you said it, how you want it.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that later. We ain't going to do this on the show.
You let me know.
Get on that.
We got something coming for your ass. I'm letting you know. I'm forewarning you. Get ready.
All right. That's a bet.
You still got the bounty hunter?
Nah, but we got two more cars in there. I'm thinking about doing another one, to be honest with you, man. With the way shit going now, these cars, I'm thinking about bringing it back.
Well, you bring it the fuck back.
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about doing it, starting in December, November. So I've been talking to my chassis man the last couple of days. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to do it. But I don't need to buy one of the hell I got. We got Purple Rain down there in the shop. I got this American Gangster car that I'm sitting in with these 29s on it. Shit. All you got to do is let me know. So we got something to work it out. We're going to fall right in between either way.
So you got some more junk to sit.
That's it. They just sit. Got a shop full of junk. So I got this 29.
Yeah, we'll be back. I was just saying, like I said, we got the crew, everybody, we all getting together. Soon as son come home, we go get back in the game. With
good. That's good for racing. That's good for racing.
Hey, y'all saying. Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, I seen you at the Greatest Nationals, and you didn't have any. What was your car at?
Huh?
I seen you at the Greatest Nationals of San Antonio, but I didn't see your car. Did you have your car there?
No, I didn't have my car there.
Oh,
it's hard for me to bring my car. Like, that's why I'm waiting, you know, for this level to come, because my car, you know, it is what it is. And for the way it run decent for what it is, but it can't go out there and race everybody. And people that do respect it, they're not going to spot it and get a car a fair shot at any race. So it's like, it's just bringing a car to make a test pass. To me, it makes no sense to bring really a motor car unless I have something locked in.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I feel you on that 100%. And one more thing before I go rock, man. The way you was talking, man. Hey, man, I don't know what was going on, but you was at the starting line asking for a bottle of water, and you had a Texas nigga shook down there, man.
Hold on. When I see fucking Rock, I'm going to show y'all how to fold his ass out like a paper bag.
Hold up. What y'all need to realize is, what y'all talking about all that. Did y'all see the way I robbed them boys playing the tree game on the phone when I robbed the boy for them $400? Four or five?
Hey, I seen that.
I would let him win for the 20, but every time he bet the 100, I beat him.
Oh, right. Hey, young thing, if you don't mind, we got a lot of hands up. I'm going to leave your mic open, young thing. You can jump in whenever you want to. I tell you what I need to do, we have Cadillac Joe, your mic is open. Come on in. Cadillac Joe. Cadillac, where you at, sir? Man, we just lost Big Sham again too, and he was next up. Hold on. Well, I tell you what, that's what we got right now. We just lost two up, and then they're coming back in. All right. Well, listen, I tell you what, we lost those two. When they call back in, we'll go ahead and get them on. But Rock, let me ask you a question. In the Grudge game, who were some of your heroes in the Grudge game? If you don't mind me asking, or did you have any heroes in the Grudge game?
Man, now I'm getting tricked into some bullshit. I don't even want to name the motherfucker. I don't want to name one of my heroes for years. So that motherfucker, that boy, he.
Hey, come on, Rock. You got to give credit where credit is due. If you had any heroes in the Grudge game,
that ain't right, because I ain't got the name, because he wasn't no Grudge racer, so I can back off that one.
Come on,
okay,
Rock. Who in the drag racing world inspired you to go Grudge racing? How about that?
Let me tell you, no. I'm going to tell you who my heroes were in the Grudge game.
Okay. Be truthful.
I'm into, one of my heroes was Russell Simon, the Bull. Tippy Toe, Tony. And Tippy Toe was known as a dangerous man at the tree. You know, I kind of emulated and practiced my tree cutting skills, because I always envisioned myself having to run into this guy at some point. Harrio was the prettiest goddamn driver I ever met. So with the sunglasses and the Oakleys on, when y'all saw me wearing Oakleys, I was trying to be like Harrio. So he was always professional, you know. I'm just giving you a little bit of what I'm getting, and I'm telling you why when I'm naming these people. HD and those guys were heroes because I always liked the way they always try to conduct themselves when it came to the business side of it. So HD was my heroes, all of them, and I love those guys to death. HD, Sterling, Terry, and Robert. I love those, and George, because you got to get him, you know, he's old Jack too, and Cash. You know, really, it's six of them. A lot of people don't know, but it's six of them that always together. And those guys were just like my heroes because they were old dudes out here still, you know, retired guys still out here betting fucking good money. You know, they've been good to me, man. I'm telling you, all them parts I hit them for, they've been good to me, and I love them for it. Let's see, who else was some good guys? T-Shawn and them were my heroes because I always thought, you know, they were just like King Kong kind of dudes. So,
you talking about T-Shawn and them from out of Jersey?
T-Shawn and them out of Jersey. Hell yeah, the Jersey boy is what I used to call them. Another one of my heroes was Baldy. You know, Baldy was another good guy because Baldy was always true to the game. He never really got a whole lot of foolishness out of Baldy. He talked a lot of junk, but Baldy's a genuine guy. He always brought us to Florida, fed us. His wife fed us and kept, you know, and always showed us a good time. So, I mean, for me, a lot of the main players that was in the game, I was fans of them just the way they conduct themselves, you know. I'm trying to think who else was somebody that I really thought was a good dude. Who else?
Hey Rock.
Yes, sir.
Oh shit.
Rock.
Yeah. Oh, and my Uncle Larry, man. My Uncle Larry was one of my biggest, you know, was one of the most underrated people in the game because he wasn't the best driver in the world, but he was the best at getting the car ready and tuning. I didn't know nobody better than him, you know, getting the car together, prepared to go to battle. I mean, you got to think, what a lot of people didn't know, he was behind some of the best grudge cars in the game, man. You know, that Bull, that Russell the Bull, that red STN, my uncle was behind that car tuning and getting that car ready to go to the track. You know, that was, you know, he was masterminding behind that thing.
Russell the Bull, you're naming names that the people may not be familiar with. Can you give us a brief
Russell
history
Simon.
On Russell the Bull?
Yeah.
And tell us where he's from.
Russell is from, he's from down, like, by Bowman, South Carolina, right below Orangeburg, South Carolina. He had a red S10 that you probably haven't seen him whoop a lot of people. He whooped number one stunner. If I ain't mistaken, he beat Harrio in that car and had a bunch of deposits paid. He raced a lot of people with that car, and he used to drive. He used to drive for Pete and them back in the day. God bless the dead. Russell in New Jersey, he used to come up there and drive for some of those guys. So he's been around. And Mighty Joe Young, he used to drive for Mighty Joe Young too back in the day.
Okay, I tell
Rock.
You what, Rock, we got Elmo.
Hey, Rock.
Rock, this
hey,
is
Rock.
Elmo. And Elmo, don't let Elmo fool you for how he's acting. He is not what he is nothing like what he is. This is a real G on the phone, and I don't know why he want to cut up with you. But, Rock, can you address Elmo, please?
What's up, Elmo?
Uncle Leroy needs to stop playing on the phone. That's what Uncle Leroy needs to stop doing.
Hey, Rock, we're going to address Elmo later on. That is my ace coon boom. That is the dude who came and put his arm around me and officially brought me to the Midwest.
Right, Rock.
I'm going to keep it funny with you. I had mentioned his name to you before. You can't ask for a better dude. And I'm going to let anybody from the Midwest, can you give Rock some can you guys let Rock about Leroy? Let this man know how y'all feel about Leroy.
We love him to death, and if he had a fast car, if his car was together, we'll be around here threatening Rock. Hey Rock, we love you, but we want.
Hey Rock, you make a move. Rock, you make a move.
Hey Rock, go ahead and get Gray Oz on the phone now. Now's the time to get Gray
Oz. Hey, listen, that's normally what I make them do. At the end of the day, that's how they talking. I thought I'm gonna kick their nuts in their damn throat. So I'm used to hearing sound shit. That's how I normally make them do. So, hold on, y'all.
Hey, now's the time to get Gray Oz on the phone. We need Gray Oz to deal with Leroy. Hey, Big Sam, I'm Big Sam. Your mic is open. When they come back, Sam. Your mic will be open, and Sam, I want you to weigh in and let us know you always add something to the grudge game. For everybody that's listening to this Clocks Off, OG's the Grudge, special guest tonight, The Rock, Big Sam and Uncle Leroy, they have a show.
Be on
the
phone. That's my Uncle Gray Eye on the line.
Okay, what? Okay, go ahead. Hey, how you doing, Gray Oz? Now, I've seen you get
I'm doing
all
right.
Down. What's going on? I'm sorry. I don't have any phone etiquette to tell. But Gray Oz, I apologize. I just jumped straight in. I lack a lot of phone etiquette. I like to just go straight in. So pardon me for not knowing any better. Gray Oz, this show is about your nephew tonight. You know what I mean? Highlighting his accomplishments and his reemergence into the grudge game. Being that Rock is coming back into the grudge game, what do you predict for the you know, for your racing team? Is there anybody that is there anybody that you guys feel like knocking off first, or somebody that you feel like getting to first, Gray Oz?
Well, I know the ladder's up there. We left at the top, so we're going right back to the top. Whoever comes, that's who we're racing.
Well, I'm glad
we don't have special names that we're looking for.
Have you ever heard of Fade to Black, Gray Oz?
Did what now?
Have you ever heard of a camp called Fade to Black? There's a car called Fade to Black from out of
Fade
Chicago.
Fade to Black?
Yes, from out of Chicago. The name
of
the car is called Fade to Black. Well, you were arguing in Rockingham at the Grudge Nationals, at the World Grudge Nationals, with a gentleman by the name of Bookie. Do you remember that? You were arguing with a gentleman by the name of Bookie. And you two were going at it. He said he was going to whoop your ass, and you said you were going to whoop his ass. They have a car in 29, Rock, and they are from Chicago. They were, you know, where them real OGs reside.
Right.
Well, if you're not familiar with it, I think Rock might be familiar with the car. Rock, are you familiar with the car?
I'm familiar with Donnie.
Yeah, you're my man.
Too, because he's doing his thing. I like that. He ain't asking no questions. He's getting to it.
Okay. Do you predict yourself getting beside Donnie? If Gray Oz said you guys are going straight to the top, that's who you guys would have to go to the top and get.
Yeah, we eventually will run Donnie. I'm sure we will. Our paths will cross. And very near future, I'm pretty sure of that. I mean, we in the 29 Huffer game, the only cars we ducking is them pro mods. I'm going to tell you that now. We will not run no pro mods, but we got a stock suspension car. But, you know, again, you know, what's stock suspension these days? But we ain't lead ducking too many cars on the 29s or none of them, really. And we ain't coming back to do that. I mean, we got a decent car, and I like our chances.
Okay. All right. Well, Rock, I tell you, we have a Big Sham on the phone. Gray Oz, I'm going to keep you on. Well, you're on there. Big Sham, come on in, sir.
What's going on, Brother Gunnett, Brother Rock, and Brother Larry, Brother?
No, that's Gray Oz.
Everybody. No, Brother Gray Oz, I heard I had been listening, and I just wanted to give you brothers a shout out. Rock, I wanted to. I'm new in this game as far as promoting. I'm from Chicago, and myself and Bruce Leroy and Gunna Picks, and we got something going. We trying to do, and I just want to know. After the show, can I get your number from Gunnett so I can talk to you?
Sure, I ain't got no problem with that.
Okay, that's all. I just want to shout out, and you know the question that Gunnett Picks asked you earlier: how do you get back to the top? He was more so talking. You from South Carolina, so that's
right.
down in the south. So I would say the same thing that it took for you to get there is the same thing. You already know what to do, so it won't be difficult for you to get back, if in fact you left at all.
I want my uncle to answer that question. Y'all let him answer that.
Well, listen, we've been racing for I'm talking about at least 30 years back to back. I mean, we took a break, but the break has been fixed again. I mean, we back together. We finna race. I mean, we don't bar none. Just like my nephew said about the pro mods. But if they go out there slipping and sliding and they make the race right, they got a good chance of slipping and sliding right on top of us. But we ain't turning down no nothing. We don't even have collars on our shirt. We wear white beater shirts. So we coming great.
Well, I made reference to down south, but like Gunna said, as far as the Midwest is concerned or north, if you saying the top, Donnie is at the top right now. So
man, Donnie is the top, but we done been everywhere, man. You got to understand, we been tired, man. We stayed on the road. There's nowhere we haven't been. And I'm glad that the Midwest Chicago, I'm starting to meet guys and hear from these guys. And we are all coming together, you know, from, you know, Jay Barnes, in my opinion. put that union together, and it's good because it's different players now. Because before, we never knew you guys were racing in Chicago. Because if I would have known y'all were gang, I'd have pointed that goddamn freight liner right up through Chicago on y'all ass.
I got to stand to correct you. It wasn't Jay Barnes that put that together. You're speaking to
whoever it was. Okay, Gunny P. Whoever it was, just saying. I mean, we never knew at the time. Because we used to go up and down. Man, we used to go all to New York, Buffalo, New York, Syracuse, New York. Man, we go everywhere looking for hunting that action, man. You know, you watch Conan the Barbarian, how they say they were hunting that steel. We were hunting action.
Hey, Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, this I've been kind of quiet for the last 15, 20 minutes. But I must say this here. Someone has to always speak in defense of their town. You guys, when you came to Chicago, and they damn them got your ass whooped. That's the bottom line of that.
Man, you know how many people say that?
It'll be just like a quiet storm. We come to Chicago. All that killing and shit go on. They'll think we real gangsters. We come up there.
Only thing you would do is ass real. Listen, Rock, check this out. You guys freak the area where you could win at. That was in the South.
We went everywhere.
When you was running at your best in 06, did you guys ever come this way?
We never knew nothing about
you. We never knew y'all was racing. Hey, Rock.
Let me ask you. How can someone not know something about Chicago, the second largest city in the world?
Well, listen, let me ask you a question. Hold on. I'm going to show you how you fix this shit. See, one thing about it, I put a video out, and I told them.
That's the only thing you guys do is YouTube. Oh, we don't want to be on
No,
on.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Let me hear what Rock is saying.
I put a video out that got 50 to 100,000 hits about how I look for anybody. And motherfucker, I didn't give a damn where they come from. We were looking for them. They had a spaceship we wanted to run. I put a video out. And I called out every fucking body that you could talk about, and nobody from Chicago even rung the bell.
So when they're racing in Chicago?
Well, the thing is about that is this. There's a lot of guys that didn't have race cars back then, Rock, when you was probably putting those videos up, wasn't computer literate, didn't know about YouTube.
Oh, yeah,
so
okay, I got
it. So I can't say that you right or what. D said was wrong. I'm not going to say that. But there's a lot of guys that's from Chicago that do a lot of drag races. So with that, I understand what you're saying as far as you had 100,000 hits and stuff like that. But it's a lot of guys in the Midwest, and we're in the middle of everybody.
Yeah, you are.
Man, come here.
We didn't know nothing, man. Like, if we would have ever known, this is the honest God truth. If we would have ever known anything about any guys in Chicago that was players, we would have come right on up there looking for some damn hunting some action, too, because that's what we were doing.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
You said you got the formula. I'm going to bet you this.
Hey, I got to stop muting Mike. Everybody cannot talk at the same time. This show is about Rock. I expect, especially for my Clock 12 veteran, to give this man the utmost respect.
Well, go ahead.
Man, on your show.
You said you got the formula and you retired on top. The first time you come out, you go to Chicago or come up north, you're gonna get your ass whooped. I'm gonna bet you.
But we never retired. Y'all saying retired. We didn't retire. We took a break.
Okay, you did the best thing for you. Got out when we got in.
We never got out. All that shit sitting over there. Listen, somebody said that same shit. I showed them about how the hell can we get out with all this kind of equipment sitting around here. We can't get out. We're too vested in this shit. Like, I mean, we've been in it too long. Like, we could never, ever get out of racing. I don't see that. I don't see us. Our children will probably be racing because we got too much equipment to get out.
Can I ask you something? When last time you had your car race? See, I mean, I'm not BSing, so I'm serious. You haven't raced since what now?
When the last time have I raced?
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, some grudge racing, as they call it now.
It's been who the last person I raced with this car? I think I beat Boogeyman with that car. That was last. No, was it Boogeyman or Tony Bynes? I beat Tony Bynes with that car the last time out. That's the last time we raced.
No, what I'm saying, Rock, year wise, what was that? Like 2010, 2008? What's what I'm saying?
Nah, it's like It's 14 now, so that was like 2012.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at. Now, I got a question for you. Now I'm going to get off of that here. My question is that would you be willing to reveal an ET from then, from that time? I know if you come back out, you're going to be fast.
No, man, we don't do that. That's good. I would never talk about no ET. That ain't something we do.
Our car's got no time on it, and we don't. If you don't win, you don't need no ticket.
Well, the reason I asked that, let me tell you guys why I asked you that question. I asked that for a reason. And now since you want to reveal that, I'll talk to you later about that. But that was for a special reason why I asked that question. If you guys had came, see, you two, they came to Chicago to try to film us on the streets racing. We threw rocks at them. So you guys took pride in going to YouTube because it gave you a chance to do something, be seen, something you had never been. We didn't want that in the city. You know, if they had YouTube back around when we were street racing, you guys would never heard of in the city of Chicago. You didn't come this way. I want your ass whooped.
Well, y'all ain't never came this way.
Talking about, we came this way.
Chicago, ass from the south is always frequent. From the north is always frequent south. Always.
When? We ain't never met nobody from Chicago.
We ain't never know nobody from Chicago with no race.
I don't know how you didn't. Maybe. Well.
But I guarantee you, if you talk to anybody around here, they don't hear something about us.
Yes, around there, I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Rock and Greyhounds, can I ask you guys a question? Because this is something that nobody's.
Hold on, Benefit. Let me say this. Now, as far as the YouTube, what he was saying, we never. That was not our idea. It was the videographers who did that, like the Indy Cut and the Gunny Pig. Those guys did the video. We never did that. So we never wanted to be on YouTube. We never knew nothing about, you know, YouTube. We knew about YouTube, but we didn't know that people would really post a video. That was something the videographers was doing to sell their merchandise. They would put snippets up in order to get sales when they go to certain racetracks and let people know. That was their business and how they became popular. We just happened to get something out of it on the back end. You know what I mean? So that wasn't nothing that we elected to do. I just wanted to say that so people would know the history about how it actually went live on the Internet.
No. No one is saying it was you guys doing it. I see it.
No, I know what you're saying. Some people, we used to tell people not to put us on there because they used to try to get your time. They got so bad, we had to tell some people to stop putting the races up because they were trying to start the race with a stopwatch and stop it at the finish line to figure out how fast people were.
Well, we did that back in the 60s here, so that's been done for years.
Yeah, they started doing that kind of shit. I'm just trying to, you know, enlighten some people who may not know this information. That's all.
All right, well, Rock, let me ask you a question. Rock, this is the most important thing that I have to ask pertaining to the Midwest. Does the Bounty Hunter team, Rock, what is the name of your racing team, first of all, so I know what that
Bounty Hunter. Bounty Hunter.
Okay, well, Gray Oz and Rock, does the Bounty Hunter racing team run out the back door? Do they blast through that course?
We ain't never did that. That's never been. We don't have many quarter mile tracks here. That we do that at. That's not a popular race for us down here.
Okay, well, let me say this. Rock, being that you're an open-minded person, you're very open-minded, this is something of great contention between the Midwest and the Southeast. It's not a contention. It's not an issue between the Midwest and the Northeast. But the issue is every time the Southeast comes to the Midwest, they force quarter-mile races to run the 8th mile. And every time the Midwest comes down to the Southeast, and they do it frequently, they are forced to run the 8th mile also. Now, I'm going to say this. The Midwest is known for running out the back door. They have figured out running out the back door like the Southeast claims, like the Southeast has figured out the 8th mile.
Right.
What is your stance on that for the South? Say that they are the baddest in the grudge game if they refuse to run out the back door. If they refuse, I mean, refuse to run the quarter.
That's just like when you first, don't take this, I hope it ain't no kids on the floor, I ain't gonna say that. But when you starting out with these cars like we do down here, you know, we run week in, week out, a quarter mile is hard on your car. And we stay at the track pretty much from February to December. Racing all those months. Whereas in Chicago and in the Midwest, you guys' racing season is way shorter than ours. So when we out here logging 100 passes or 70 passes on a motor, you guys only might log 25, 30, or 40, or 50. You know what I'm saying? We get a lot more play and action out of our cars, so we be wanting them to live a little longer. And that's why running 8th of mile is so popular here. That's number one. Number two, we never really had big tracks to run quarter of a mile at to where it was safe. So all we knew was 8th of mile tracks. That's just like a popular form of racing down here. Every now and again, you see somebody in Florida may want to go to quarter mile, but it wasn't never really no big thing. I know New Jersey was a quarter mile. I used to hear about HD and them sometimes, or Melvin and running Harry and them running a quarter mile up there, but that wasn't something that they wanted to do with us. They never really, you know, that never was nothing we really did. So, I mean, you know how you take somebody out of the element. They really just didn't want to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't run the quarter mile. That ain't something I'm interested in.
We too fast to run the quarter.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Hey, Rock and Greyhound, let me say this to you. Let me ask you. If you guys let me say this, you know, a lot of the guys, like, let's take Roger Holder, for instance. Roger Holder runs out the back door on 315. And if he's able to do it, like a whole lot of other class races are able to do it, I don't see why the South isn't able to do it also. Now, before you guys jump on me, I'm going to say this right here.
You said the main word. You just gave yourself the answer.
I understand their class races, but we also, as grudge racers also emulate a lot of what class racers do. I also gave you an answer for that, too. So, Greyhound, yes, we do, sir. But I'll tell you what, I will bring somebody in just a minute if you'd like to debate that. But is there any way possible in hell that Midwest can fuck you up in the quarter and the eighth? If they give you your race in the eighth, will you in turn come to the Midwest and grow some balls and run them in the eighth, Greyhound? I mean, run them in the quarter, Greyhound. I don't want you, right? You know, your penis might be a little bit limp. I want somebody
to come on. We don't never do the quarter.
Okay.
We'll never do a quarter mile.
Okay, well, I'll tell you.
I'm shooting too much shit down in there to be trying to do the quarter. I'll be able to burn that bitch down by the time I get
it. Well,
there's the key thing. They will burn them up every time.
Let me ask you something. Let me get back off your show here. Okay. I had a young man grab. He said he would never run a quarter. With that being said, you guys cut your teeth on 8th of mile racing. That's cool. That's what you do. Do you think it's okay to go to another state where they run a quarter and try to force feed the 8th on them then?
Nope. They should
if that's what you do, I mean, that ain't what we do. That's just like you send a baseball man to play baseball and playing football. When he coming in,
that's where I got to disagree, because I feel, personally, if I want to run you, Mr. Gray Eyes, I'm going to run you in a fucking phone booth. I don't give a fuck how long that phone booth is. I'm going to run you. If I think I can beat you short or long, I'm going to play with you, because
if you try to get to that quarter, you can get to that quarter, but we're going to get to the eighth first. You can have the quarter. You get a pile up there. I'm asking you, when y'all race in Chicago, the country fucked up, not us. We'll come to Chicago.
We need guys like you and Rock, you and you guys to come up here and show your face, more so to be on these phones and run off at the mouth.
If you come to Chicago, you can believe we ain't come to run no mile. We come to crank that goddamn Mustang up and try to get on somebody's ass in Chicago.
Hey, Gunny.
That's the man I'm looking for right there. What's happening?
Hey, Gunny,
sir? What's happening?
How you doing tonight? Mr. Rock, Mr. Gray Eyes, D, Sham, Baby Boy, everybody that's on there tonight. I have a question for you. You guys have a car that's a car on 29 stock suspension?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm listening, and I hear you will not run out the back door, but do you only race nitrous cars, or are you open to anything that's on 29 stock suspension?
we try to stick with nicer cars because of it's a couple of variances. But if somebody got a turbo car or something, we got that in our camp. You know what I'm saying? We got people in our camp with those type of cars that we can make that shit happen with. So we can accommodate that. Yeah, we can accommodate that. And if you want to do it with a 275 or a 350, however you sit. I mean, we could accommodate that. We have enough people that we deal with on a day-to-day basis that are in our camp that we can make those races happen with. So, but we try to stick.
We're speaking on the same thing because we have plenty of nitrous, turbo, supercharged cars that are willing to engage in the Midwest. For the most part, and again, I don't mean no disrespect by it, but down south, you got a turbo car or a forced induction car. They do too much begging and crying. They want to handicap you on the tire you use and how many pounds of boost and, 1,000. Mm-hmm. The way we get down in the Midwest, technically, if you got a 28 or a 29, and again, no disrespect, motherfuck what you got in the front. Come on,
that's what sometimes we feel like that, but we try to cap ours to nitrous cars because we know nitrous cars came around with turbos these days.
I beg to differ.
Some turbo cars we don't care nothing about. Some turbo cars we don't care nothing about, but we have a turbo car out here, a run in a car y'all got up there on 29.
I watch turbo killer class of racing. I watch turbo cars run Oscar clean out of business, man. And I ran Outlaw 10.5 for a year, and I watched that shit and run them people clean out of business because the nitrous cars, when you're handicapping them and you're having them on certain things, they can't make the power that the turbo cars make. It's just inevitable, man. It's just technology is just too far advanced for that.
You're correct with that, but right now, I don't know about down south. Your grudge cars down there, your turbo cars, your supercharged cars, but up here, our nitrous cars, when you look at it, we've had multiple shootouts, which we're grudge racers, but we have the shootouts as fillers for the fans.
Right.
We've had multiple 10,000, $5,000 shootouts that are in the finals. You've had nitrous turbo car, nitrous supercharged car. One of the finals, nitrous car won it. The other one, the supercharged car, won it. And, I honestly don't think if you up to par, it don't matter what you got.
Well, let me say this to you. Now, no disrespect. Let me say this to you, see? Now, all of that you said, I'm with you on, right? But when it comes to that money, that paper, that almighty dollar, if you got somebody who knows what they're doing with a turbo car, I would advise you, if you got a nitrous car, don't you go out there and bet your money against that man because he's going to fuck you up. You know, shootouts ain't a good way to try to figure out if a man is right or if a nitrous car can keep up with it. What I'm telling you is it's showing and proving every day. These nitrous cars, you look at the duck races, you ain't got them top cars running in them radio races down there. Ain't none of them nitrous, really. Most of them cars are damn turbos and pro-charge cars. So ain't no nitrous cars in the top of the field. So what I'm saying is all those guys are professionals in what they're doing and some of the best in the country at running those type of cars. You don't see no nitrous cars down there finishing in the finals.
And you're correct in what you're saying, but
so
again,
I can't bet my money on that.
What they do and what we do are two different things.
But it's the same though.
For the most part, in the grudge world, you have a lot, but not as many. You ain't got that many pro teams. You know, we all come from the streets, and we've gradually progressed to where we're at now. And I honestly feel y'all come up this way. We got plenty for y'all here.
It sounds like we come up that way, we're going to come back with a trunk full of money.
A lot of people have said that, but there's few of them that have gone back like that. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
but man, it sounds like we're gonna come back with a lot of paper. Y'all talking about running turbo cars and shit. We still got about a month and a half,
maybe. A racing season up here that I don't think it's gonna be hard to get this in order. And
yeah,
I will guarantee you this. We have one of the premier tracks in the country at 131 where you ain't gonna have no problem about putting down whatever power you got.
Well, we don't have no problem wherever we go. We race the racetrack.
We'll hook up on water as long as you don't put no ice on it. Say that again, Rock.
You out there in California. I haven't talked to my man now in a while, but he's out in Cali. Yeah, name is Duck, not Duck Water. Duck Water is his name. I spoke to him several years ago when this turbo thing really first started taking off. And he stated to me then, and a few years ago he said the same thing. He said, Carl, he said, I didn't go into turbo because it was faster. I went into turbo because it was the new trend, and it's easier. When I get to the track, he didn't say it was faster. I'm going to tell you what he said now. I'm sure you know him out there. His name is Kenneth Duckweiler. He says he pulled his car to trailer, and he sat there and watched his car while the other guys are twisting and tuning on carburetion all day to get where I just grind track and run. The turbo is so much easier. And another thing you said that eighth of mile racing is so much easier on a car. You know, that's a debatable statement that's going to be around for years because check this out. A few years back, and listen real close. You're putting out, we're going to just throw a number out. This is no one's number. I'm just throwing out there. You're putting out 800 horsepower in 1,320 feet. And you got to master that down the track, correct? Now you're going to ask that same amount of horsepower to be mastered down the track in 660 feet. So you're doing it in half the distance, which means you're hitting it twice as hard. See, that's a debatable statement.
The rate of acceleration.
It's twice as fast.
To be able to run fast in the eighth of a mile, what's your rate of acceleration in 600 feet to, let's say, run 160 miles versus your rate of acceleration in 1,320 feet to run that same 160 miles? Okay, I'll let y'all.
I want y'all to pay attention to the rate of acceleration on this Mustang come Saturday. That would hear y'all need to be looking out there.
Hey, Rock. Yes, sir. Pay attention to this
dusty black motherfucker we finna be in. It ain't dirty or nothing. It's dirty. I ain't for all that.
90% of
the motherfucker
down. Because you don't make any horse out the back door. So since you don't make horse out the back door, you shorten it up where you can get in the field. Now I'm going back on mute.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we have one more gentleman with his hand up, and then we need to get running bell on the line. But Barry from out of Michigan, your mic is open. Go ahead.
When I try and tank the helicopter like I would do on normal, when we're playing normal, does it show up on your radar if you're in the helicopter?
Okay. Helicopter.
Oh,
we're in the air.
Okay. No. I happen to be sitting back listening to y'all on the radio while I'm playing a game on Xbox talking to my son and Bob. So anyways, I'll just switch over the conversation, turn off the mic to the Xbox, and listen to the conversation that's going on here on the radio. What's up, fellas?
Right.
Hey, man.
Bob, is this you, man?
Well, I'm just listening to the conversation, and I find it pretty interesting. I've never run, never been out there running the eighth mile. That's too short for me. I run a quarter mile. I run it all the time. I've got a 71 Roadrunner, stock body, suspension. Everything about that car is stock except for the motor. My trans is stock. Manual valve body shift kit, stock rear end 323. I still get out on the expressway and have big fun. But I get to the track, run a quarter mile, and I'm extremely quick. I scare people, and I win a lot. I put this car specifically together to run against motorcycles. So that, and I'm old school. I'm seriously old school. I'm 64 years old, and I don't listen to all the, no disrespect to you eighth milers. Hey, that's what you got into, and I understand it, but I'm old school quarter mile. I do it all day, every day.
I tell you this, man, quarter mile, we took our head off for you. When the stuff we putting in our motor, it ain't going no quarter mile. When we start packing it down there, goddamn throat, something gonna bust, a lung, a kidney, or something coming out. I tell you what, and it's the God's honest truth.
I have gotten out there and run against guys, run a quarter mile, I mean eighth mile, and scared them and had them wondering, what the hell are you running? And when I tell them I'm running a stock rear end, 323 gear, and I have a top end of 218.76 on the big oval before I have to slow it down, they always tell me, hey, you're lying. Yeah, well, okay, fine.
You running nitrous or supercharged?
No, no, no. I'm running a dual quad, tunnel rim dual quad setup, naturally aspirated, all motor. No nitrous, no extra additives, just big pistons, you know.
And you say you going 218 miles an hour on motor, all motor?
All motor. And it's like this. Them 440s were built specifically.
Those
440s were built specifically. Back in the 60s, they were built specifically to go to the dealership, do your little extra additives, and go racing.
That's hard to believe. You going 218 miles an hour and a quarter mile.
Yeah, he must be coming off
that. No. Excuse me. Wait. Stop.
He lying. He ain't going no damn 200 nothing.
There it is. There's that lying thing. You didn't listen to me. I said I'm fast, extremely quick in the quarter mile. I said my top end on the big oval, 218.76 before I had to slow it down on the big oval. All
What's
right?
that? We don't know what that is. I mean, we lost on that.
You don't know what a big oval is. I understand that you only get out there and run straight. I just said I have a stock rear end, 3-fill, get out on the expressway and run it, and I've been tested on a big oval track.
NASCAR oval track.
At 218.76 before
okay,
I had to
okay,
slow down
now,
for the
now
third.
Now we got it.
Hello?
Now we got it.
There
now
you
we
go.
Got it. Okay, we thought you meant the quarter mile. That's what we thought you were
no.
talking about.
No.
Okay. Yeah,
I did
yeah,
not
okay,
give
yeah,
you
I can
time
see
for
that.
A quarter mile. I just said
I thought you meant that was like
fast,
a top end.
Extremely quick, and I put that car together specifically to get out on the quarter mile and race it against a motorcycle.
Right, I got you now.
I have a top end on the big oval.
Either way, that's fast, man. That's fucking
oh,
funny.
Yeah, tell me. Tell me that's fast. I know it's fast. I love it, and I've been doing it a long time.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, Gunner Pete.
I got a quick question for you before I jump off here. I ain't need to interrupt you, bro. I'm gonna get in touch with Gunner, and we're gonna see if before the season's out up here, if you guys are willing to
travel. We can give y'all some of what y'all are looking for up here. I damn sure take it. We'll damn sure take it. I'm gonna tell you the truth. And if you don't have nothing before then, I got something coming up. And if you guys want to come down, maybe we can get something locked in before you come. That's fine too. But October 4th, we have a brother that's been down with us from day one that's battling cancer, and it's my birthday bash. It's the 8th annual event. We have a you know, big shindig on Friday night, and we have a, you know, big races we've been going on for a while, and, you know, if you want to come down, it's going to be a lot of grudge races, some people that are doing gambling, not none of these, you know, not none of this fake shit. These people actually going to be grudge racing, and it's going to be different types of cars there.
And if you guys can make it, you know, we definitely will come back to you. If, you know, if you can't get nothing in between that, we'll definitely come back to you if y'all want to do that. I mean, it's up to you.
Can you give us the date on that?
It's October 4th in Orangeburg, South Carolina.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and if we can make it, you know, we'll come to you. We don't have no problem with traveling, man. I mean, that's something that we do. I wish we'd have known about you guys a lot sooner than now, but nevertheless, you know, it's good for racing because that guy Donye represents y'all well, man, believe it or not.
Yes,
Donye is a good dude, and I had the opportunity to meet him, and I think a lot of him because he don't give you no whole lot of flack about trying to race, man, because that guy won't race. You know, people that don't want to race, they'll give you a whole bunch of extra shit.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people here talking trash about, you know, want to talk that talk like we do and all that, but then when it comes down to really wanting to do something, they don't want to do shit. He puts on for y'all.
For the most part, I can say this, we try and engage, and it doesn't take a lot. On average, I tried it within 3-4 minutes to get a lock in. I feel that's all it should take because all we got to discuss is what we doing and how much we doing it for.
Lil Tony done been out here racing too, so I can't
yes,
leave him out.
Yes,
cause
sir.
He's
yes,
came
is.
Down here and he put on for y'all. I mean, he represents that area really well, and he's actual mutual friends with some of my friends, so I kind of know of them a little bit. But you know, like I said, those two guys are the two people that I really know from your area, and they done came out here and raced, man, with no problems.
Well,
they
came from Chicago, Rock.
Yeah, you know the Bumblebee Camaro.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
me and Tony. Yeah, me and Tony, we real cool. And one thing about him, as you said, Tony don't give a fuck who it is. He's going to engage. If it's anywhere close to him, he will engage, definitely.
That's what it's about. And like I said, if you guys do decide to make the trip, let me know because I think all players need to know other players and kind of try
definitely.
To match up. And let them understand, you know, so they can, you know, because my thing is when we travel, we always want to try to have somebody that we can target. Even if we didn't have a lock-in, we knew
right.
who we were coming for that was set up similar to what we are so we can try to get the set. So if you do decide to make a trip, allow, you know, tell us, you know, hey, we coming with a big tire or whatever, a big block, and then I can kind of put you in touch with some people and if y'all get it worked out. But, you know, I'm also a believer in if you get everybody in the building, I ain't got to try to lock shit in. The testosterone ain't going to let us be around each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That I'm a true believer in that. You know, all that faking-ass locking-ins and 25 locking-ins, that shit ain't really what it's about. If you get people in the place, they gonna battle it out, man. They're not going to just sit around. And I'm a true believer in that, man, when it comes to promoting races.
I tell you this, Rock. The last race, I am a part of the Motor City Mafia, which is Lil Tone, Slouch, Red, you know. And the last event which we had, it was we promote grudge events. The shootouts that we have are more
as fillers.
Same, right, as fillers.
Yep.
I mean, to this second, we have confirmed 44 grudge races, 44 grudge races where we have the drivers, which were in the grudge races and the amounts that were locked in. That's what we do up here. We grudge it.
Right.
You know, the shootout stuff is cool for the fans, and, you know, to keep them, you know, keep them in the stands, keep them busy, but our priority is grudge racing.
Right. That shit done took over racing, man. That shootout shit done took over racing.
Yes,
racing.
It has. Yes,
that
it has.
That shit done killed grudge racing, man. Motherfucker done force fed that shit, though, so that done killed it.
You know, I firmly believe that if you want to be able to know where I'm at, you have to pay for it. Not $200, not $300, but you definitely have to pay
damn
for
right.
it.
Damn right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Do you know why they kill a racing, the good racing? Everybody's scared of everybody. Nobody don't want a gambler. They want to put up, let somebody put some money in, and they pay $100 to get in. What the hell is $100? I might win $20,000. They don't want to bet that $20,000 and walk up to a man and say, I want to run you. They want to just get in a damn group with like bracket racing. They scared of each other. See, when we come somewhere, we don't give a damn what you got. We don't want to grudge. We don't want a bracket race. We come to race.
Yeah, that kind of racing sometimes kills action too, man, because everybody know where everybody is, and you done did it all for free.
That's correct. Well, I got to jump out, gentlemen. It was great speaking to you. I'm hoping, Rock, that we can come to
call
an agreement.
Call me. Let's talk.
We would sure love to engage with you. Yeah.
And
no
we
doubt.
Would love to travel. My group of guys, we like traveling, man. That's one of the things about racing. We like that we've met a lot of good people all across the United States. And, we ain't going to quit racing, so shit.
No doubt. Again, it was good talking to you guys, man, and hope to have you guys up here soon, man. You gentlemen,
all right, bro.
Have a good night, man.
All right.
What?
Keith, handle your show, man. You all soft spoken and shit. You ain't saying that. I mean, get on your ass.
He doesn't need it. He done put the phone out. He going to the bathroom.
Gunny Pig's taking a pitch. That's what he's doing, a video on or something.
Hey, Rock, why you left the truck up there?
Oh, the tire's on. He cleaning the truck so I can pick it up tomorrow. That shit's so damn dirty, man. I ain't going nowhere, no super. Hey, we can't go nowhere, no dirty damn truck. I know it's been sitting 2 years, but damn.
Hey, I'm caught dirty as hell.
Well, the car going to earn a bath. Shit, we're going to let somebody else clean it for us.
All right, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have about 14 minutes left on the show right now. We're going to close out soon. We have a lot more callers that want to speak to The Rock. And so, Rock, we're going to run it through. I ask all callers that's left to keep it short, ask him your questions pointedly, and we're going to move on. I want everybody to have a chance.
And I try to answer
Rock
quickly.
Oh, no, Rock. You got Rock, this is your show, bro. You can do what you want to do. Come on, wipe your feet on our door, man. All right, we have Shelton Gillis. Your mic is open. Come on in, brother. Thank you for your wait.
Hey, thank you, Johnny Pick. Hey, you and Rock. Hey, Rock, all I want to say is, I've been sitting here listening for about an hour and a half, and you brought up a lot of good points. You said what you was all about, and I like that. And I want you to know that I've been following you now for about 7 years, and I think the last time I saw a video of you, you was driving that little Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
And, I always liked the way you be handling yourself, and I heard you say something about, I think I saw the picture on the internet today that you was in the Drag Illustrated. Well, I think you guys kind of paved the way for people like me because I also made the Drag Illustrated last year.
Hey,
and,
okay.
You said that you was going to be at Ronnie Brown's show this weekend at Virginia Motorsport Park.
William Brown,
that's my home track, so I'll be there too. And he called me running there, and I hope I can maybe.
Well, walk
meet
up
you.
To me, man. Yeah, walk up to me and say, hey.
Yeah, I appreciate
saying.
It.
I want to know. I like to put a face with a name, man.
Right. When I got into grudge racing, I wanted a good car, so I came down south and got one. I bought the car from Tony Bowne. He used to call it the Dutch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I own that car now, so that's why I'm running that with a small block in it.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. I hope to see you this weekend, man.
All right.
All right, Mr. Mr.
Hold
Gillis,
it, hold it, Rob. Hold it, Rob. Before you get out the phone, you bought that car from Tony Bowne?
Yeah, I got the one he called the Dutch.
So you grudge racing or you bracket racing?
I grudge race. I don't do no bracket racing.
Okay, well, I want you to walk up to Rock also, but you want to do something at the show?
If you make it right, I don't know what you got. I don't know what you got, but if you make it right, we can get it on.
Oh, make it right. Oh, I thought just by some of this, looking for the B-Rock.
If the race is right. I ain't scared to run nobody now. If the race is right, I don't care whether you got a big block, small block, a medium-sized block. It don't matter. I don't care what kind of tires you got on. If the race is right.
We got 29.
Well, I'm running 31.
That's good.
I don't care.
You got wheel bar?
Yeah, I got wheel bar.
Okay. All right. Come on, y'all.
Don't let wheelbarrow make you hit the bushes now.
Yeah, we ain't got the wheelbarrow. We'll stop suspension car. But we want to race. When we come up there, when you see us come in, when you walk to the Rock, you be helping us try to find a race. That's what we trying to do.
That won't be no problem. We can get
We try to get a pot up.
Race. You ain't got to worry about that. You can get a race.
All right. Well, we'll be there, sir.
We'll be okay.
All
right.
Go ahead, Gunner. Who next?
Hello. All right. Okay. I tell you, we have Cadillac Joe. Cadillac Joe is next. I'm sorry. Detroit Hood TV. Your mic is open. Come on in, sir.
What up, Doe? I just want to say, Rock, I'm going to try to get down there to that race. But what do you think about this? Everybody's scared to move, right? We've been doing this game for a while. Two of us have eliminated some of the things that's going on. So me being a videographer, I run with Gunnett in some of them circles to see what's going on and keep it hype. But I'm more hang with the fans. And we gamble a lot in the stands. You can gamble anywhere from $1 to $1,000 with just the people that ain't even in the pot. That's just the people standing on the fence.
Right.
Now, since everybody's scared to move, you take the hat race, you take the shootout, you take the grudge, you throw it in a big-ass bucket, scramble it up and throw it out. Everybody's scared to move. You have a no-stip race. If you know these six guys that's at your track are all close in speed and they're going to stip the hell out of each other before they go, you just say, hey, y'all six dudes, give me $2,000 apiece. We put the poker chips in the hat, and whoever you pull, you grudge them for them 2 G's. No backing out, no stiffs, head the fuck up. Somebody gets fucked up. That's what we need to start doing.
What do you think about that?
In
grudge racing, you never know, man, how fast a man really is. Sometimes you throttle your car. Sometimes you don't have to run your car all out to win the race. You know what I mean? So it's hard for that to be determined about who's just as fast as the next man or whatever the case may be. So
I'll videotape this, but I'm saying if you take six different men, you gambling off rip because you don't know who you're drawing out the hat. It's true gambling.
It sounds good, but I don't think a lot of people would be susceptible to that. And they won't
because they're scary.
I think somebody tried that one time before. But, you know, here's the thing. Nobody knows in a true grudge race because when we race, we don't get tickets. We don't get tickets from the next guy. So what happens is, you know, a guy who got beat, you know, he got to go look at his race pack and figure out, did something go wrong with the car? What happened? So it's all about the question mark when you're racing grudge because we don't get tickets. We don't like that. That's not. We don't want you to figure out if you ran on your number or not. So we don't get tickets for that purpose. But I think what you're saying probably may be able to get pulled off, but I don't know nobody who's willing to try to attempt that. And I don't think I'm bold enough to try that because that's something that I probably would stay out of myself, to be honest with you.
This is my problem with the whole grudge game. Everybody trying to attempt to get some free damn money. If you sit there long enough and you hide in the bushes long enough and you watch everybody, you're going to come out and you're going to be able to get a win. But that ain't what it's about. It's either hustling or it's action. It can't be both.
Well, the problem is you got to know who's doing what. You know what I'm saying? You got to know your people that are involved with whatever they're doing. You got so many people that tell lies and spread larceny because it's hate. You know what I mean? Because you got other promoters that hate on others to try to make it look like something to keep control of certain stuff. You see what I'm saying? So they make you think that somebody else is shit when their intentions are really good in order to keep control to make it look like they have it. So I'm saying this to you. A true grudge racer with a car that he loves to gamble with, nine times out of ten, I ain't saying 10 out of 10, but 9 times out of 10, if you want to take 4 cars and put them all together and do it, like they had Last Man Standing. Last Man Standing was similar to that. They put up some money and they put the names in the hat and went and got it. They did that and tried it and it never really worked, you know, because that was actually the first step to racing going downhill because all of those guys were getting to see how fast each other were for $2,500 and $3,500 or
$5,000. No,
$150,000 cars.
No, but you're not saying what I'm saying.
Okay, say it again.
I want the money. I want two people to get on the line and battle for an amount of money that's significant that one of them had to pay out of the pocket. They paying to find out, but they don't know who it is. So it's if you keep slowing stuff down here and everybody trying to figure everybody else out, something bad going to happen because everybody's going to be scared to move. Now, if you make a man put his 2 G's, it's his 2 G's or 4 G's. If you make a man put $4,000 against another man to make $4,000 and it's a blind bet, it's true gambling.
But they did the same thing before, is what I'm telling you. That idea has been done. They were putting $5,000 up per car, and they had four cars. Everybody put $5,000 up, and then whoever the promoter was put an extra $5,000 in the pot. They didn't know who they were racing. They knew the four cars involved, but they had to go their names in the hat, put their names in the hat, and then they pulled it out, and then that's who they matched up against. What I'm telling you is what happened in that scenario is what's going to ultimately happen is that when they drew these names out, it allowed people to know what a car was about, you know, what it was running for $5,000, you know, for their $5,000. So if you got a guy who likes to race for $20,000 and $30,000,
but you're saying that was the winner won the whole pot, right?
No, yeah, the winner took the whole. Yeah, the winner won the whole pot. Yes.
Okay, that's exactly not what I'm saying. I'm saying every time you draw, you racing that one man for that money. It's a different tier.
Oh, you saying that money is put up in each person running for that amount of money? Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, so it's not like it's not like a shootout idea. Well, I mean, that could be possible.
Man is paying $5,000 to get his ass hurt. You know.
Okay.
And you better,
like that,
you know,
something like that. Damn right, I'd be interested in it. If it's like that, because all you're doing is running one man for one pot. So if everybody put $2,000 in and we draw and I'm just running him for $4,000, then I mean for $2,000 aside, you know, I mean that $2,000 is a good bet with small time.
But by it being gambling in the beginning, when you put the things in there, it because some people ain't gonna move on other people that they know is in their range. You know, if he didn't knock off the same people that he didn't knock off, then I'm really gambling when I race them. And grudgers have a nature to stay away from that. I done seen people pay off the punk out before they even turned around to see whose voice it was.
Well, sometimes if you can't win, you can't win. I mean, you can't fault a man for not thinking he can win, man. I mean, you got to think about it. I done seen guys do a lot of shit behind the pride. You know what I mean? In grudge racing, I won
a whole bunch of pride. That's old school. These dudes know how to put that pride behind them now. They learned that.
Hey, gentlemen, we only have a few minutes left on the show,
ahead,
and I need to bring in my Fossil resident, Cadillac Joe. He's been patiently waiting for a long time. Cadillac Joe, your mic is open. Come on in, brother. Cadillac Joe. All right, well, Cadillac Joe, if you can hear us, your mic is open. So in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, we have about 1 minute and 44 seconds left into the show. I will extend it if Cadillac Joe comes on in. I do want to say that William Brown III's race is at Virginia Motorsports Park. It is coming up this Saturday. From William Brown's race, Larry T has a race. Larry T and Long Island Joe, they have another race at MIR. I will definitely be attending those two races. Those two races will wrap up my Northeastern Seaboard run. And in the meantime, I tell you what, Rock. Once again, he has an event coming up October 4th. For one of his crew members that has been stricken with cancer. All proceeds are going to this gentleman right here.
And let me say this too, Gunny Picks, and I hate this, you know, end on a negative note, but I heard somebody, you know, I heard a comment made tonight on a show, and, you know, matter of fact, fuck it. Mike Hill said that they were taking up a donation at Carolina. Y'all straighten me on this if I'm wrong. I might be the dumbest person in the world. But I heard them say that on Dog Show that they were going to take up a collection for Mike and as a donation for Mike and give it to him themselves. I mean, I think that's kind of sound contradicting and downright stupid. That's almost like he having something over here and you clearly taking away from it, but then you're going to take up a donation and give him a donation. Somebody help me make sense of that. I mean, like, I'm just having a problem with it. Like, I don't understand, like, how do you do that? I mean, how does that make sense?
But you know what, Rock? Let me go, and I'm going to extend the show for just a little
somebody,
while.
Ask somebody else to make sense of it, because I can't understand it, because they said they're going to take up a donation at Carolina on the 4th, which they're having a race on top of the race that he's having on the 4th. What sense does that make? If you're taking away from him, why would you give him some?
Rock, you want me to give my opinion on that, Rock?
I need something. I need a stranger. I don't want – let somebody else answer that. Then you answer. You know, whatever.
Mr. D.
Coming from a complete stranger? Nah, that ain't right.
Yes,
yeah, it don't take much to figure it out either.
You call him, Mr. Guy.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what. Detroit Hood TV, I'm going to – everybody whose mic is open, I'm going to run down the line and get your opinion. Once I get your opinion, I'm going to mute your mic because I need to end this show. Detroit Hood TV, you said it's not right. Mr. Shelton Gillis, do you have an opinion on the matter?
I don't know nothing about it. I ain't got no opinion.
All right. Thank you, sir. Big Shannon, your mic is open. Do you have an opinion on the matter?
I didn't quite really understand what the question was. He said somebody is throwing a race on top of somebody's race and then giving them a donation.
No, listen, this ain't. Let me make sure I explain this too, because I don't want nobody to think that it's a hidden agenda. About it. I heard it tonight, and I feel like it's kind of dumb for them to say that. But maybe I'm wrong. That's why I'm really looking for somebody to straighten me if I am. But what it is, you know, October 4th has already been in place and labeled as a benefit race. They knew about it. They decided to have a race on October 4th on top of the benefit race. But then they make a statement tonight saying that they're going to take up a donation at their race, which is about 30 minutes away. They're going to take up a donation and donate the donation to him, a man that's already having a benefit race. I'm saying to me it sounds kind of damn stupid, but I'm just asking anybody else to kind of if what they think. About
no,
that's all
I
I'm
really
asking.
Don't. Yeah, I don't really think that makes sense, but I don't know.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know that. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, Sham, do you have an opinion on the matter?
I just said I don't think it really makes sense. The way he explained it, no, it doesn't make sense.
Okay, all right. All right, Sham, I appreciate your opinion. So we have two so far saying it doesn't make sense. They don't agree with what's going on over on that side of the table. Mr. D, do you have an opinion on the matter?
Well, I'm going to put it like this real quick. How you say it? It could be a situation where they didn't know. I'm just going to take an assumption. They didn't know about his date when they planned their date. So as a brotherly thing to do, we're going to give him a donation because we can't be there. We should be there. We can't because we got our date here. We didn't know he had his date. So we're going to give him a donation. You know, I'm not saying Rock doing this. As much as I would like to see it, I want to cut stuff and cut with him anyway. But let's just say it as if it could just be they feel like it's the brotherly thing to do.
Possible.
Right. That's everything. Everything is coming.
That could be possible, but to me, just common sense would tell me if you want to support a brother, you support him. You don't. It's like you're patronizing him. You know what I mean? Like, you know I'm over here and you knew about it before your date, but then you want to give me something to make me feel like you really care about me. Like, you know.
If they knew you had that date, then yes, I agree with you. If they didn't know you had that date, you know it's better than they knew.
They knew.
Okay, well, is it that case in point?
They knew.
Okay, Uncle Larry, do you have any opinion on the matter if you're still on the line? Hello, Larry. All right. Rock, I'm going to give you my version of it. Rock, this is my version. And I am a complete stranger to the situation because I have nothing invested in Mike's race and I have nothing invested in your race other than I'm coming to support you. All right. Rock, we can't expect for other people to act the way that we would like them to act in fellowship with us. If you have fellowship in your heart, and you want what's best for your brother, you can't expect another man to want what's best for you or yours. That's just not the way the world works. Mike doesn't have to do anything at all, period, in any way, shape, fashion, or form. And by him extending, taking up a donation and getting it through them, getting it to Mike himself, that's a way to, one, either save face because he threw the race on top of a benefit race with a man stricken with cancer, or two, he genuinely cares. I haven't spoken to Mike about it, and I you know, we spoke briefly about it, but in this world of rug racing now, which has evolved into a money faucet, for certain people, they don't have to do anything, and they don't have to make any kinds of concessions except to go get their money. So, you know, that's my opinion on that. Nobody has to do anything if the fellowship isn't in their heart to do it to begin
with.
That's right. It's face up, it's changed a little bit. But, you know, again, we'll see you guys, and we'll be there Saturday. So hopefully, you know, we'll see some of these, you know, some of the guys from that we never met before. You know, make sure you just come up and say hello or whatever so we can put a face with a name. But, again, we are travelers, so it ain't. Don't let nobody mistake and think that we just sit in South Carolina and don't travel and go places, because we do. And we don't mind traveling. We look forward to places, especially places we've never been. I've been to Chicago, but it was for work, so.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that concludes our show tonight. Rock, I want to thank you for coming on. Cadillac Joe, if you can hear me, Detroit Hood TV, Shelton Gillis, Big Sham, Mr. D, Uncle Larry, Leroy, Uncle Grey Oz, and Rock, the man himself. Good people, I truly appreciate you taking the time out and introducing yourself, my Midwest brethren, and Rock, I will make no mistake.
Gunner!
Gunner! Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes,
Cadillac,
yes,
man.
Yes.
What's going on, man?
Cadillac, what's that?
I did.
Cadillac, what's that?
Hey, man, I just wanted to tell you, man, good show, man. I've been in and out, but man, good show, dude.
All right, Cadillac, we appreciate it. Go ahead, Cadillac.
Like I say, man, on that other thing with Mike Hill, man, that's kind of way out, but, you know, it is what it is, man. It could be a positive note. You know, I really don't know too much. I came in on the end of it, so I don't really know. But, you know, like I say, man, you know, brother trying to help, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. And, well, it's going to do what it do. This weekend going to tell a lot of shit when it comes to racing. So we're going to see, I think, because a lot of people are supposed to be at this race, a lot of action on Saturday, man. So it's going to be exciting for racing, because I think a lot of things are going to start from here, because it's a lot of grudge racing. The key word, grudge racing, big money racing will be going on for Saturday. So I think this Saturday is going to give a lift to the actual word grudge. I think we're going to get to see the actual grudging going on this weekend. So,
yeah.
You know, I hope you can come witness this shit.
All right. All right, with that being said, Rock and Grey Oz, once again, I want to thank you guys for coming on to the show. Once again, Rock has a benefit race for one of his racing team members. His name is Mike. He's been tricking with Kemp. And if you guys can make it out, bring a car. If you guys can't bring a car, come on. It's $20 at the gate.
Reggie.
Give me a beautiful match. Pay $20 at the gate. And, man, come on out and support them. I know I have no problem with paying my $20 at anybody's event. And that's what I'm used to and accustomed to doing pretty much. But, Rock, I'll be there with my $20, bro. And
it's all good, man. We appreciate it. And he'll be there, too. You know what I mean? He gets back to the hospital tomorrow. So if we have no other problems, he will be there sitting on the golf cart.
All right, well, here we have it, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes tonight's Clocks Off show with Gunner Picks. Special guests, Rock and Grey Oz. Donnie Hunter coming
right,
to Midwest soon. And once again, October 4th, and I just want y'all to listen to this. And here we go.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking, cooking.
Smell what the Rock is cooking. Smell what the Rock is cooking. Smell what the Rock is cooking. Smell what the Rock is cooking. Smell what the Rock is cooking. Smell what the Rock is cooking.